Let's get this party started.
Welcome to the I Squint Podcast. Welcome to the second episode of the iSquint.net podcast with your host, Justin Lang. In this episode of the iSquint podcast, I sat down and I talked with my good friend Jim from JimOnLight.com. Jim and I worked together to produce and create this, the 2009 LDI post-show podcast. We attended the 2009 LDI show last month in Orlando, Florida, and we wanted to share some of our experiences from the show, as well as talk about some of the truly remarkable new products we saw. Jim and I discussed some of the hottest and award-winning products and technologies we witnessed and share our opinions about them. While we talked at great length about some things, we didn't get a chance to cover everything that was at the show. There was just way too much to talk about, and the podcast would be 20 times as long as it already is. So without further ado, here is the 2009 LDI post-show podcast from iSquint.net and JimOnLight.com. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the attendance of the show. You know, we're walking around the show floor and a lot of people, or exhibitors at least, were giving good signs of a lot of people being there, more than they expected. What do you think?
Well, I think that the kind of overall feeling was pretty cool. The one thing that I noticed is that some of the more, I know I'm going to regret saying this, but some of the more specialized products, I won't even get into any manufacturers or any reps or anything, but some of the more specialized products seem to be kind of elitist. it was hard to get in and, you know, say hello and, hey, I'm interested in your product and, you know, I'd like to write about it or I'd like to talk about it. And it was just kind of like, oh, well, I guess this other guy has got money to spend. So, hey, that's cool.
Well, yeah, I can see it coming from that point, you know, because they are there to sell product. But at the same time, they really need to open up and let us know more because, you know, we're broadcasting this to even more people than we're at the show.
Well, see, now I think we might even differ a little bit on our opinions of that, because I think that, yeah, they're there to sell the product. However, they're also there to interact and make, you know, make some connections with people who could possibly pass other people on to sell their product.
Certainly, certainly.
Well, I think we could, I mean, in as far as attendance goes, I think the conference was fairly well attended. It was certainly a good vibe. People are looking to, you know, continue progressing in the industry. It looks like to me, I mean, there's lots of products that are fairly cutting edge. You know, we can talk a little bit about lasers, which was completely, you know, in the forefront this year, more than I've seen it in past years.
Lasers are cool.
Lasers are cool, dude. There was the one, I think it was Laser World, the booth Laser World.
Yeah, in the back, yeah. They were producing some pretty massive lasers across the whole floor. It was pretty
cool. Yeah. Laser World was the one with the DJs and the booths and the female attendants that were also DJing, and it looked like they were giving drinks. I don't really remember.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, but
yeah, I don't think we had more than 5 minutes to spare for each booth, it seemed like.
Oh my gosh. And I mean, I was so glad to meet all the people that I met this year. And
I know that's what LDI is all about. It's not, you know, not necessarily just seeing cool products, but it's also about meeting new people, new friends, new colleagues, and, you know, certainly catching up with old friends.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go if I didn't know anyone. I mean, honestly, it's kind of where, you know, I got my coolest gigs out of that place. You know, LDI is, as I got some of the, you know, beginning of my career kind of hookups at LDI, which was, you know, what I like a lot about it. And if manufacturers and representatives are, you know, willing to go that extra few feet and interact, you know, going into the aisles and not just on their turf, I think that LDI could be even a little bit better. There are some companies that are absolutely fantastic. The Sea Changer folks. Beth is like one of the most engaging.
Well, while we're talking about Sea Changer, I know we both have a huge love and fascination for Sea Changer as well as Beth. You know, I'll let you kick it off with Sea Changer. What impressed you about the Sea Changer?
Well, the Sea Changer booth, I mean, I'll leave the green product stuff up to you, but just because I think I've come to terms at this point of my life with the with wasting of the wattage. But no, I mean, but the whole booth was lit with the Li-Fi lamp, the plasma lamp. And Tom Stanziano, I'm probably not saying that right.
It's Stanziano.
Stanziano. Tom had one of the Luxem Li-Fi lamps. He took it and he put it in my hand, and it was like a little glass hollow Tic Tac. It was amazing. I mean, I've written so much about that lamp, but I've never seen one in person. And it was amazing to see the output that, and it was relatively cool in operation too.
Yeah, it's about the size of like your little lamp that you find on your Christmas tree.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a little mini. It's even smaller than a little mini.
As long as you didn't take it as a pill, we're good.
Oh my goodness. You probably would. Yeah. So, I mean, well, as far as Sea Changer goes, I mean, one of the greatest things about their products is the quality of the dichroics that they manufacture. I mean, they are able to tune them. I mean, for example, with the Nemo, Tom and Jim Lane were telling me that that, you know, they tuned their dichroic the stuff in the Nemo engine to the higher blues and the more pure colors the Li-Fi lamp gives. I mean, it's got like a CRI of 95 plus, I think.
Yep, 95 plus.
It's amazing. I mean, just to look at that and get an idea.
Well, you know, they've got to be doing something right with these dichroics when other manufacturers are using them in their fixtures. You know, I'm not going to come out and say who's their what other manufacturer are using them, but you know, these guys, Sea Changer, are based off of another company called Ocean Optics. This is what they did, you know, precision optics and measuring tools. So you got to think that they know what they're doing when it comes to glass filters and dichroics.
Oh, I like that, the Jazz, the spectrometer that they have.
Yeah, that's just one of their measuring tools. You know, the Jazz is a little bit more advanced than the color bug, that thing that we can use in our industry. You can certainly use the Jazz in our industry, but at $5,000, I don't think any LED is ready to drop that kind of money.
Oh, well, at least not any of that are that are me living in Dallas, just because I don't have the bread. But I'm if I did have the bread, I would buy a Jazz. But you know, I digress. I will name a name though. Isn't Lycian using one of their the Sea Changer engines in one of their spots?
I haven't heard anything recently about it, but I'm pretty sure Lycian's going to be using it. I just haven't heard anything. I wasn't able to stop by the licensing booth because we're just so dang busy running around trying to see everybody. But yeah, like a month or so before LDI, I was hearing that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of those really big gun projectors that I'd like to see with really fantastic optics, fantastic color products. You know, because I like seeing good stuff and good.
Well, Speaking of good color, we stopped by the Prism projection booth. I personally hinted about that a little bit before LDI, about the Reveal CW LED thing.
Oh, yeah, Garrett and those guys. That was a really interesting product.
Man, talk about some smooth color mixing. Did you see that thing on the floor? There was next to no color shadowing.
No, I didn't notice any color shadowing. I've got an interview coming up with Garrett pretty soon that I'd like to get a podcast going about, but to have one basic source instead of, you know, the multiple sources, it's like the VLX has the several, the chips, the flat light.
Yeah. The eight engines.
Yeah. The little flat engine. I mean, as far as the Reveal color fixture goes, I mean, good God, the quality of the color that was coming out of those fixtures was pretty ethereal. And for the booth size that they had, which was pretty small.
Yeah, compared to everybody else on the floor. Yeah,
I mean, it was like a tent, but that product is so hot.
Well, you've also got to remember, these guys are new to the scene.
Yeah, so it's true. It's a shame. I mean, it's cool to see that there's yet another, you know, cool smaller company. I'm big on smaller companies lately. You know, I don't know what it is. Just the companies that are not... I don't want to say, yeah, I'll leave that out. But the companies that are huge, there are three really awesome, huge companies. And then the rest of them, you know, I'm glad that the products and the money that goes through really helps revolutionize what we do.
Sure.
But on the other side of it, the smaller companies that are hungrier and that are struggling to provide the money for the technology research and the R&D, I mean, that is what stimulates me the most, because some of the most original ideas come out of, God, I don't know, like it's when you're at the precipice of you know, the mother of invention. You're almost to the edge, and then something like popularity or money comes in and helps, you know, boom, it helps revitalize the whole technology process. But yes, to completely get off of that ramble.
get back on subject.
Yeah, reveal was cool. There you go.
Well, getting back, well, I want to jump back to that, you know, starting off as a small company and getting the money behind you. It's the same idea with ETC and the Celador fixtures. ETC bought Celador not even a year ago, and Celador was a mom and, no, well, I won't say a mom and pop, but it was two partners that originally started this business for the seven color mixing fixture. ETC comes along and purchases them, and now Novella and Rob get a chance to specifically focus on product development in the Celador fixture. And yeah, I'm going to switch over to ETC now, so keep up with me. They're able to develop new products like that Fire and Ice.
Oh, the Fire and Ice. I think, I think the coolest thing about the Fire, I mean, besides the fact that it's got really nice color rendering and it's bright, the coolest thing was listening to Novella talk about that fixture. I mean, it looked like several times she was in the face of tears because she was so happy about the way it had come out.
Well, you know, she's passionate about what she does.
That's the only way to be in this business, man.
Well, exactly.
Seeing the Fire and Ice fixtures is pretty cool.
The one thing I'm a little leery about is the whole, you know, having two separate fixtures to create. Certainly, if you're playing in reds or ambers, you can buy one fixture. If you're playing in violets or blues, you can get the other. But when you have or want the ability to combine them both to get richer whites or deeper colors in whatever facet you're looking for, you have to buy both fixtures and then double yoke them. And then we're talking about more space, more weight. And I'm still a little leery about the Fire and Ice. Don't get me wrong. It's a great idea. I love it. But I'm still a little leery because the price and just having to buy two of the same things, only one is being red or ice and fire. So
yeah, as far as designer choice, I mean, do you know what the retail is on those or what they're going for at this point?
From experience, I know that X711s, the 11-inch fixtures, which this is based on, is about $1,000 a foot.
Okay.
So, or $1,000 a piece, so... Yeah, we're talking like $2,000 retail for this, for getting two fixtures.
Yeah, for two fixtures. And you know, the hard thing is not being able to critique without really having used them as a, you know, as a design tool. You know, as far as the two fixtures themselves, good Lord. I mean, the ice, I think, was my favorite one between the two. I mean, it, just as far as the blue color range that the thing went through.
Sure. Well, that's kind of funny because I like the red. Go figure, right?
No,
when you bring both of them together, what do you get? Exactly. Isn't that kind of funny?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
That's pretty,
wow.
I think over the years I've learned to like my blues.
Well, let's push on here. I want to briefly keep on ETC real quick since we ran into them. What did you think of their latest division, their new product, the rigging stuff?
Now, I was pretty impressed with the Prodigy rigging hoist system that it's called.
Yeah.
I was more impressed just in the thought process. One of the and this stays with ETC, but also is kind of global across the LDI landscape this year. ETC's Prodigy hoists felt to me like someone had really put a lot of thought into the design of the fixture. It was like seeing we were able to hang out with Chris Conti, the Bad Boy product manager for PRG. And it's like the Bad Boy, and we'll get to that, is really well thought out. You know, as far as usability and design and, you know, the operating system of the fixture, and to leave the Bad Boy alone and talk about just the hoists, the design and installation of the hoist is amazing. I mean, it ships in a crate, and I think he told me it was
a 4x4. It fits on a standard shipping crate.
Yeah, I mean that's amazing. The compression tube, they snap together.
Yeah. Well, what happened was ETC spent over a year. What was it, 2001 when they first started looking at this? When they started developing the Prodigy hoist. There's three versions. There's the electrical, there's the house, and then there's the general purpose. They're all pretty much the same thing. But what happened was ETC geared the Prodigy hoist system towards the community theater, the smaller high schools, you know, where their ceiling or their opening is only 50 feet.
Right.
You know, there's some restrictions there, and they want to keep it under that. But this thing is unbelievable. It goes up in a matter of hours instead of days, and the loft blocks are no longer tied to I-beams, the structural I-beams location. They can slide in anywhere they need to be. I think it was, 14 feet a piece, or 14 feet max width between each of them?
Yeah, I think that's what he said, 14 feet span.
You know, thinking over about how they package, like you're saying, they broke this down into a 4-foot section, and then you can get this up to 50 feet wide.
Yeah.
The compression tubes come in 20 feet lengths. You know, it's just unbelievable the thought process they put behind this thing.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. I mean, even like in the press almost briefing for this product, I mean, everything down to the control system was fairly, I mean, impressive in my head. But I like seeing innovation in products. I mean, the ETC is using a new, was it 8 lines? The drum itself, the
oh yeah yeah.
Itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, typically in a system like that, it's a line shaft winch. It's a long installation. It's got to be hooked all over the place.
Nope, but all done in the factory.
Yeah,
it's all done in the factory.
And it's the one drum, 8 lines on one. To I mean, as far as remembering size, maybe 2x2 feet on the end, the hoist.
Oh, at most it was 3 feet by 3 feet.
I was impressed.
Yeah, it was a little more rectangle, but whatever. What really got me impressed about the hoist system was the electric one. You can put, I believe it was 48, up to 48 circuits on a 50-foot run. And then a whole, all compressed into one, it takes 30 inches of space. Can you believe that?
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, and then there's the auto sensing of weight. You know, it auto detects if it's been hung up or if it's catching on something.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Oh,
they did a lot of good thinking on them. I expect a lot more rigging products now to come out through ETC. You know, this is a very good starting off point. They can only get better from here. Just look at their product line. It just keeps improving.
Continues. You know, I mean, there's so much importance paid on, you know, paid on products and moving a unit out of the warehouse, which, you know, it's understandable. We live in a capitalist society. This is something we have to accept.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's major innovation, you know, in like the form of something so what to everyone else seems to be completely minute change is a major issue. I mean, take, you know, compile that whole line shaft winch into the motor of the Prodigy is pretty cool.
The hoist system's pretty cool, but, you know, staying on the rigging or the, you know, the technology, whatever you want to call it, I didn't really get a chance to look closely at it. You know, I certainly saw it. The RC or the Royal Shakespeare Light Lock from, who is it? Total Structure,
Total
right?
Total Structures. My God, that thing was cool.
Well, I like I said, I didn't get the chance to see it. I certainly saw it in action, but you got a chance to talk to those guys. What do you think about that thing?
Well, I mean, as far as it seems like I say again, it seems like innovation is the theme this year. The light lock is a device that you hook to a hanging position for moving lights that literally stabilizes the moving light on the yoke. I mean, it is, you know, you could put one per one light, or you could put one per, I think the guy told me five.
Really?
And I mean, the more of those units, like if you had a 10-foot piece of truss, you know, you could put one or two of the light lock on there. It's essentially like a, it's like a, I don't want to say gravitational device, but it's sort of compensates for movement with weight. And it is another one of those things that is going to flip, you know, the rigging of like 2 points. I mean,
a lot
of articles about the RSC having issues with, you know, the 2-point hanging systems. And this light lock is now able to correct and stop the motion. I mean, the total structures boot, they had, I think it was 6 Mach 2Ks.
Yeah.
Three
with and three without.
Right. And I mean, it was amazing. And you could go, and I listened to a couple of the guys from Total Structures talk about the light lock, and you smacked it around. It corrected itself right up. It was pretty cool. He turned it off. The moving light went nuts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I asked him if they had to shave the squirrel's tails before he put it in, and he just said that they remove them all together. So, I mean, there's no issue.
Get that fur out of the way, right?
Right.
Well, let's jump over to some cool little things that I wanted to bring up real quick. Was the Stage Junk Ratchet Ultimate Focus Tool. Oh my god, talk about a mouthful, but
that thing's gonna be popular, I think.
Yeah, I own one of the original Ultimate Focus Tools, and the ratcheting's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was impressed. I think I was more impressed with the level of, you know, the level of connections that he was able to make in one wrench, the amount of connectors. And
well, I think it's like 13, 14 different things the tool can do.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, what the problem I'm having recently, I'm sure a lot of other people are having with the original Ultimate Focus Tool, is since it's made out of aluminum and you don't get that connection on there nice and tight, you know, I'm looking at mine right now, and it's, you know, pretty beat up to where it's going to be rounding off, you know, just sliding over nuts here.
Oh, interesting. And I had noticed that on mine.
Yeah, and I wanted to take a look, closer look, or ask Rob, I didn't get a chance to, about the ratcheting one, see if that's still aluminum. Do you remember him saying anything about that?
I think he did say it was aluminum, but it was
aluminum,
fair bit heavier than the other.
Yeah, it seemed like a different type of aluminum or something. I don't know how that's possible, but whatever. It's definitely, I think it's worth the $100 investment in it. It's a pretty neat little tool.
I think it's such a silly thing to say, but it's worth just opening coffin locks for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or not coffin locks, but case locks, you know.
Instead of busting your knuckles on something.
Oh my god, it's a cool piece of gear, man.
Yeah. The other cool little tool that I saw, that kind of rhymes, cool little tool. Yeah, from Apollo Design, the Wrench Mate. I don't know if you saw it on the show floor, but Melissa gave me a quick demo of it. And what it is you take a C-wrench, and it's an add-on that you slide this Wrench Mate onto the back of your C-wrench, and it gives you kind of the three sizes that you need for a regular ellipsoidal. Right. So not only do you have the C-wrench, but you have the commonly used wrench sockets on the backside.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a pretty neat add-on. I'm hoping to get one here to take a look at it soon, but we'll see. But if they added on, you know, the pin splitter or the continuity tester, like on the Ultimate Focus Tool, might be worth it.
Pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah. Now, while we're on Apollo, I was blown away by their laser cut gobos.
Oh my god, I know, right? That was the most insane thing ever. The Apollo gobos had I think it was the Wikipedia article for Da Vinci.
Yeah, it was Da Vinci.
Yeah, and I mean, it was on like an inch and a half steel gobo. It was,
well, you know, like what was this? I think it was 6-8 months ago, something like that, less than a year ago.
Yeah.
Apollo announced that they're going to laser cut gobos. You know, thinking to myself, oh, okay, great. Hopefully it's cheaper. You know, not thinking about the whole, how small can they actually get this thing cut?
Right.
And going away from chemical to laser, the Da Vinci on an M-size gobo? Come on. That it was so small that you had to use an eyepiece to actually read it. And I think I've got a photo of you somewhere on the LDI photos trying to read that thing. It was pretty cool.
I was just amazed with the amount of detail they were able to, you know, chisel out of there with the
sure.
I just love lasers, but that's
it's no wonder that they won the green award at LDI.
Oh yeah, who I can't remember all the green awards. It was them.
It was them, and I don't have the list handy, but they're the ones that stick to my mind.
Right.
Robert Juliet. I want to mention them. There is a lot of talk on the show floor about their LED profile fixture. I thought it was going to be on the show floor, but they actually had it in a back room. I know we tried to see it, but it was next to impossible with our schedules and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's bummed that we weren't able to see that.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, even if you attended, it was kind of like a press briefing or a, you know, like a PowerPoint presentation. Now, they did have the fixture there, but you couldn't touch it. But I know, how can you have a product demo announce whatever they want to call it and not have be able to touch it or, you know, open it up and take a look inside? So I got a chance to talk with somebody on the show floor about the fixture that actually got to go in and see the fixture, the Robert Juliet. And up front, Robert Juliet made sure to explain that this is a project and not a product. It was a project and not a product at the moment. Because it sounded like right up front they're saying, don't bother asking about pricing, don't bother asking about this, because we're not going to tell you. Okay, fine. So I guess...
So they're picking the idea, and what was the deal?
Well, they had the fixture there. Apparently it uses one of their current fixtures, and they just took out the burner assembly and put in an LED. What type of LED? I don't know.
Interesting.
But it, from what I hear, it's a smooth, even field. It has crisp and sharp shutter cuts. I forget who was telling me, but they took the shutter cuts into like a razor thin cut, the left and right. It was nice and crisp and clean. It was very nice. They also said they're no idea when it's going to be available or pricing, which is kind of normal when you don't think it's a product and it's a project. So we'll just have to wait to see some more information from Robert Juliet about that.
I'd be interested to see what the source is. I mean, it seems like with every new LED product that comes out, the next one is just a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, with all LEDs, I've always said that they're good right now. They're nice, they're good, they work, but they can only get better. So,
yeah, I think that's a very important point. I mean, everything can only get better, but it's just like, I want to see it to a point where it's fantastic before.
Well, give it time. Give it time.
Well, I know. I'll give it time. I'll be the scientifically skeptical one until, you know, until my face is rocked off. I mean, so far I've been impressed with every single product LED wise in terms of either a wash or some kind of a beam fixture product that comes out. VLX is way freaking cool. Robert Mokry's the BFL-192 is way cool.
Yeah, speaking of that real quick, since you brought him up, I didn't get a chance to see him on the show floor. I know we split up for a little bit. Did you get a chance to see that thing?
I didn't, but I'm going to be heading down to Austin here in the next week or so.
Oh, I'm going to have jealous. To.
I know, right? Just a three-hour drive from Dallas.
I might have to make a trip down to Dallas here soon.
Right. As far as Robert's product goes, I think he was giving small group demos just around at the, I don't remember the hotel, regardless. But yeah, I mean, it's an amazing fixture. It's bright. It is really bright. Yeah.
So what, you know, I've been talking a lot here and bringing up a couple things. I want to hear what you thought. You know, what specific things did you want to bring up?
More than anything, I'll probably go into a little bit more length. I got an interview scheduled with Chris, pretty soon. The Bad Boy.
Don't get me started. I'm
completely amazed.
I thought it was just another, you know, higher end fixture when I started hearing about that thing. But holy crap, man.
I mean, it's so far beyond high-end fixture. I mean, 167 pounds, but it's completely balanced. You know, everything from locking the pan and tilt from the console.
Jesus.
I mean, it was amazing. The beam effects. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's got color wheels that are made to rock your face.
Well, I borrowed a couple clips from the video to, you know, on my LDI walk around video. Because I know you did a interview or demonstration of the bad boy. When can we see that on YouTube?
I'll probably put it up this week. Since Thanksgiving has been kicking.
I was there, but I'm still impressed by some of the aerial things that thing can do.
Oh my lord! The fact that it can morph gobos, I think, is the coolest things ever. The bad boy can morph gobos between one and the other without making it look like he switched a wheel. I mean, it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And like the stupidest little, well, it's not stupid, but the coolest little things about that fixture was the lens cleaning procedure.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that when he showed?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, lens clean one. So it moves up, clean the bottom, it cleans, and then you move to the top.
You know PRG designed this thing. When they put in something as meaningless or, you know, stupid. I don't think it's stupid, but as simple as cleaning the lenses, that's something every tour's got to do at least once a month, right?
You know, I would think it's just another innovation issue. You know, it's like when you think about products all the way down as far as you can in the human psyche, I guess, you know, to have little tiny bits of awesome like that, like cleaning the lenses or pan and tilt lock from the console or morphing gobos or the color.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just, my bad boy love fest here is over, you know.
I want to get away from your bad boy love fest here. that doesn't sound right, but I totally understand. I was blown away by the thing as well.
Good design is a good thing.
There's no reason Willie Williamson didn't put 200 of those things on the 360 tour, the U2 360 tour.
So big.
Anyways.
So awesome.
All right. So we are going to move off the bad boy love right now. So what other things were you impressed by or did you want to mention?
You know, I think that there was a company there called TourTech. And TourTech had a modular data and power system for truss. It was like an aluminum, I hesitate to say, like a project box, except it wasn't a project box. It was a milled aluminum kind of thing.
Okay.
But it was, do you remember, did you see that?
That was one of the product, the new innovation awards or something, right?
That was a pretty awesome. I had a bit of a talk with them.
Okay.
So the unit itself is like different modules. So if you wanted to swap out like an RJ45 box for, you know,
L620 box,
you could just totally flip it out and you don't have to move the connectors or anything.
Yeah, because all the it's like a quad box almost, but you put in your 20 amp or your data, your 5-pin, whatever you want, and it's the same connector inside, right?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. The modularity of that thing was pretty impressive. It's no wonder that they won an award for it.
All right, so what other cool little things did you want to bring up?
Well, I guess just kind of closing out, there's so much we could talk about. But
well, there's one thing that I saw. If we're going to be closing out here quick, there's one quick thing that I wanted to bring up. I wrote about it already, was the Lumen radio. Did you read about that?
No, tell me about that.
Oh, my goodness. It was introduced at Plaza. It won the Plaza 2009 Award for Innovation. It's wireless DMX, but what's cool about this thing is it uses the whole spectrum. You have your transmitter, your receiver. You can do one or two universes, and then there's also an RDM transmitter receiver, which is all configurable over JavaScript or Java program, so it can run on any platform. But what's neat about it is you can go into the spectrum and say, I don't want to be in this section because that's where this is living, or I can close out the entire section, but this little part, so it only operates or sends signal on this part of the spectrum.
So on DMX bits or like on radio frequency?
Radio frequency, the wireless signal.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. And then, of course, the whole RDM, being able to repatch from RDM, you know, that's just cool in itself. But I think they did it a neat way through the Java program, just being able to, oh, I want to move this over to 215 instead of at 1, and just drag and drop it, which was really, really cool.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. The other small other thing, of course, ESP Vision. I know you're a WYSIWYG guy. I'm an ESP Vision guy and a Mac guy. You're a PC guy, whatever. We got to do one of those PC Mac commercials someday, but that's a whole nother story. But ESP Vision, you know, the visualizer going Mac native was a big incentive for me to get the program. Just haven't had the ability to drop the money on that one yet.
Yeah, I mean, they're all expensive to a point. I guess I just, I go with WYG because of the, you know, the general, everything is in one grouping versus, mm-hmm. you know, needing to buy Lightwright and then buy Vectorworks. And
sure.
Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, to each his own, I think. And but as far as ESP Vision goes, I mean, it is a cool program. It's certainly used by a lot of people in the industry.
So we're going to close it up here. Final thoughts on the show. What do you think?
I had fun. I think that is, you know, we need to keep the innovation going, and I think it's really important to keep in mind that, you know, turning a buck is cool. Just making sure that when you're turning a buck, you're providing the best possible product. You know,
certainly.
And I'd like to see that, and I like that it continues. You know, like the laser booths, and they have just gotten so much better over the years.
Lasers are cool.
I mean, it was fun. You know, the economy's kicking everybody's butt, but
yeah, it's you know, certainly turning around. I think it's turning around. So
I'm not gonna hold my breath quite yet, but it certainly wasn't evident that that the industry has taken a huge hit by LDI. But we'll see in upcoming months.
All right, great. Other things at the show, you know, we had our LDI 2009 tweet up at the Peabody.
Yay.
Oh my goodness, that was a lot of fun.
I had such a good time with that thing. We need to have one of those every time.
Well, I think that's the plan, man.
Yay.
Well, it's a real pleasure, man. Let's keep it up and talk to you soon.
It's good to talk to you, dude.
So there you have it, the second episode of the iSquint podcast and the 2009 LDI post-show podcast from iSquint.net and JimOnLight.com. I'd like to thank Jim once again for being on the iSquint podcast and for putting up with all my shenanigans while in Orlando. We had a great time covering the show together, and we met some really great new friends. Look for more interviews and product demos that I was able to record while at LDI in future episodes of this, the iSquint podcast. If you're looking for more information on LDI, do a hashtag search on iSquint.net for LDI 2009. Thanks for listening and reading iSquint.net.